The Synthesis of Yoga, Sri Aurobindo. Part 4, The Yoga of Self-Perfection, Chapter 3, The Psychology of Self-Perfection, page 627. This is the nature of spirit and its instruments. But to understand its operations and to get at a knowledge which will give to us a power of leverage in uplifting them out of the established groove in which our life goes spinning, we have to perceive that the spirit has based all its workings upon two twin aspects of its being, soul and nature, purusha and prakriti. We have to treat them as different and diverse in power, for in practice of consciousness, this difference is valid. Although they are only two sides of the same reality, pole and pole of the one conscious being. Purusha, or soul, is spirit, cognizant of the workings of its nature, supporting them by its being, enjoying or rejecting enjoyment of them in its delight of being. Nature is power of the spirit, and she is too working, and process of its power formulating name and form of being, developing action of consciousness and knowledge, throwing itself up in will and impulsion, force and energy, fulfilling itself in enjoyment. Nature is prakriti, maya, shakti. If we look at her on her most external side, where she seems the opposite of purusha, she is prakriti, an inert and mechanical self-driven operation, inconscient or conscient only by the light of purusha, elevated by various degrees, vital, mental, supramental, of his soul illumination of her workings. If we look at her on her other internal side, where she moves nearer to unity with purusha, she is maya, will of being and becoming, or of cessation from being and becoming, with all their results, apparent to the consciousness of involution and evolution, existing and non-existing, self-concealment of spirit and self-discovery of spirit. Both are sides of one and the same thing, shakti, power of being of the spirit, which operates whether superconsciously or consciously, or subconsciously in a seeming inconscience. In fact, all these motions coexist at the same time and in the same soul. As the spirit's power of knowledge, power of will, power of process and action, jhana shakti, icha shakti, kriya shakti. By this power, the spirit creates all things in itself, hides and discovers all itself in the form and behind the veil in its manifestation. Purusha is able by this power of its nature to take whatever poise it may will and to follow the law and form of being proper to any self-formulation. It is eternal soul and spirit in its own power of self-existence, superior to and governing its manifestations. It is universal soul and spirit, developed in power of becoming of its existence, infinite in the finite. It is individual soul and spirit absorbed in development of some particular course of its becoming. In appearance, mutably finite in the infinite. All these things it can be at once. Eternal spirit universalized in cosmos, individualized in its beings. It can do, found the consciousness rejecting, governing, or responding to the action of nature in any one of them. Put the others behind it or away from it. Know itself as pure eternity, self-supporting universality or exclusive individuality. Whatever the formulation of its nature, soul can seem to become that and view itself as that only in the frontal active part of its consciousness. But it is never only what it seems to be. It is, too, the so much else that it can be. Secretly, it is the all of itself that is yet hidden. It is not irrevocably limited by any particular self-formulation in time, but can break through and beyond it, break it up or develop it, select, reject, new create, reveal out of itself a greater self-formulation. What it believes itself to be by the whole active will of its consciousness in its instruments, that it is or tends to become. Yo yatrada sa eva sha. What it believes it can be and has full faith in becoming, that it changes to in nature, evolves, or discovers. This power of the soul over its nature is of the utmost importance in the yoga of self-perfection. If it did not exist, we could never get by conscious endeavor and aspiration out of the fixed groove of our present imperfect human being. If any greater perfection were intended, we should have to wait for nature to effect it in her own slow or swift process of evolution. In the lower forms of being, the soul accepts this complete subjection to nature. But as it rises higher in the scale, it awakes to a sense of something in itself which can command nature. But it is only when it arrives at self-knowledge that this free will and control becomes a complete reality. The change effects itself through process of nature, not therefore by any capricious magic, but an ordered development and intelligible process. When complete mastery is gained, then the process, by its self-effective rapidity, may seem a miracle to the intelligence. But it still proceeds by law of the truth of spirit. When the divine within us, by close union of our will and being with him, takes up the yoga and acts as the omnipotent master of the nature. For the divine is our highest self, and the self of all nature, the eternal and universal Purusha. Purusha may establish himself in any plane of being, take any principle of being as the immediate head of his power, and live in the working of its proper mode of conscious action. The soul may dwell in the principle of infinite unity of self-existence and be aware of all consciousness, energy, delight, knowledge, will, activity as conscious form of this essential truth, Sat or Satya. It may dwell in the principle of infinite conscious energy, Tapas, and be aware of it unrolling out of its self-existence the works of knowledge, will, and dynamic soul action for the enjoyment of an infinite delight of the being. It may dwell in the principle of infinite self-existent delight and be aware of the divine Ananda creating out of its self-existence by its energy whatever harmony of being. In these three poises, the consciousness of unity dominates. The soul lives in its awareness of eternity, universality, unity, and whatever diversity there is not separative, but only a multitudinous aspect of oneness. It may dwell, too, in the principle of supermind, in a luminous self-determining knowledge, will, and action which develops some coordination of perfect delight of conscious being. In the higher gnosis, unity is the basis, but it takes its joy in diversity. In lower fact of supermind, diversity is the basis. But it refers back always to a conscious unity, and it takes joy in unity. These ranges of consciousness are beyond our present level. They are superconscious to our normal mentality. That belongs to a lower hemisphere of being. This lower being begins where a veil falls between soul and nature, between spirit and supermind and spirit and mind, life and body. Where this veil has not fallen, these instrumental powers are not what they are in us, but an enlightened part of the unified action of supermind and spirit. Mind gets to an independent idea of its own action when it forgets to refer back to the light from which it derives and becomes absorbed in the possibilities of its own separative process and enjoyment. The soul, when it dwells in the principle of mind, not yet subject to, but user of life and body, knows itself as a mental being, working out its mental life and forces and images, bodies of this subtle mental substance, according to its individual knowledge, will and dynamis modified by its relation to other similar beings and powers in the universal mind. When it dwells in the principle of life, it knows itself as a being of the universal life, working out action and consciousness by its desires under similar modifying conditions proper to a universal life soul, whose action is through many individual life beings. When it dwells in the principle of matter, it knows itself as a consciousness of matter, acting under a similar law of the energy of material being. In proportion as it leans towards the side of knowledge, it is aware of itself more or less clearly as a soul of mind, a soul of life, a soul of body, viewing and acting in or acted upon by its nature. But where it leans towards the side of ignorance, it knows itself as an ego, identified with nature of mind, of life, or of body, a creation of nature. But the native tendency of material being leads towards an absorption of the soul's energy in the act of formation and material movement, and a consequent self-oblivion of the conscious being. The material universe begins from an apparent inconscience. The universal Purusha dwells in all these planes in a certain simultaneity and builds upon each of these principles a world or series of worlds with its beings who live in the nature of that principle. Man, the microcosm, has all these planes in his own being, ranged from his subconscient to his superconscient existence. By a developing power of yoga, he can become aware of these concealed worlds hidden from his physical, materialized mind and senses, which know only the material world. And then he becomes aware that his material existence is not a thing apart and self-existent, as the material universe in which he lives is also not a thing apart and self-existent, but is in constant relation to the higher planes and acted on by their powers and beings. He can open up and increase the action of these higher planes in himself and enjoy some sort of participation in the life of the other worlds, which, for the rest, are or can be his dwelling place. That is to say, the station of his awareness, Dhamma. After death, or between death and rebirth, in a material body. But his most important capacity is that of developing the powers of the higher principles in himself. A greater power of life, a purer light of mind, the illumination of supermind, the infinite being, consciousness, and delight of spirit. By an ascending movement, he can develop his human imperfection towards that greater perfection. But whatever his aim, however exalted his aspiration, he has to begin from the law of his present imperfection, to take full account of it and see how it can be converted to the law of a possible perfection. This present law of his being starts from the inconscience of the material universe, an involution of the soul in form and subjection to material nature. And though in this matter of life and mind, have developed their own energies, yet they are limited and bound up in the action of the lower material, which is to the ignorance of his practical surface consciousness by original principle. Mind in him, though he is an embodied mental being, has to bear the control of the body and the physical life, and can only by some more or less considerable effort of energy and concentration consciously control life and body. It is only by increasing that control that he can move towards perfection, and it is only by developing soul power that he can reach it. Nature power in him has to become more and more completely a conscious act of soul, a conscious expression of all the will and knowledge of spirit. Prakriti has to reveal itself as Shakti of the Purusha. End of Chapter 3, Psychology of Self-Perfection, page 631.